You're Locked On FC Hockey's Scout Series. Bringing you closer to the top names in the NHL entry draft than ever before. Now, here's Kyle Watson.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to FC Hockey's Scout Series. I'm Kyle Watson, and I'm joined by Dylan Galloway, Head Eastern Canada Scout. Dylan, how are you doing today?
Great, Kyle. Thank you. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for asking. So for most of the year, you haven't had much hockey to watch. I'm interested. How have you been passing the time?
Yeah, well, being head scout of Eastern Canada, I still got the queue rolling. Took a little bit of a break there between December and January, but I've been watching a lot of that and also been trying to keep up with the kids in the States playing in the USHL and the program there.
I'm interested, with all the time you've had to look at video and read about hockey, is there anything you've learned about the game in the pandemic?
Of course, learning tons. I think one thing that's been incredibly underrated, and for most scouts, not just myself, is the use of video and how to better break down a player's game utilizing that video and really being able to pause, watch, analyze a player's stride, analyze their head movements, rewatch a lot of clips, and then watch, you know, shift after shift after shift of a single player all at once. You know, when you're in the rink and you get to watch a live event, I might come away with an impression of a player completely different from the person standing next to me. So being able to go back to the tape and really watch a player's shifts can really help develop a better understanding of what they actually did in the game, because you might remember a player making a pass or doing something with the puck. And then when you go back and watch the tape, you find out that, oh, that was actually just an accident. He didn't mean to do that. Or there was actually a better option open and he made a riskier play that didn't work out, but it was like a highlight reel play in your mind. But you just didn't see the whole thing all at once. So yeah, there's a ton that you can learn from just scouting video, but I am looking forward to getting back in the rink.
Yeah, how important video has been a common theme through these interviews. Everyone's kind of getting used to the software and whatnot, but I think nothing can replace being right there in the rink. But I'm interested, when you get back in the rink, how will your scouting habits change? What will you use the video for, and what will you use live views for?
I think the way I'm going to change my scouting once I get into the rink, and obviously I haven't put this to practice yet, so it could change even after that, but is writing down timestamps in a game. It's not something I've done really in the past. I usually just take hand notes and write down whatever happened in the play. But I'm finding that writing down the timestamp of the period, just writing a short, quick little note to remind myself to go back and watch that clip or watch that specific time, using Instat, it makes it a lot easier to be able to find those times, find those clips, really quickly scroll through a game. If you're using something where you have to watch the entire game and the timestamp isn't going to line up exactly with it, it was a little bit more difficult. And you'd have to kind of scroll through the entire game, whereas I can kind of go and select the clips I want or just watch all the shots from that game. So if I can just write down shot first period and just go back and watch that, I think that that's going to be significant help, and that's going to make my scouting not only more efficient, but definitely better. I can remind myself of plays that happen in the game that I thought wowed me at the time, and then go back and see if they're actually good or not, or break down that skill that I saw at a deeper level.
With the OHL players kind of scattered throughout the world right now in different leagues of varying levels of competitiveness, I'm wondering, who is your number one guy from the OHL this year?
For me, it's still Clark. He's got a bit of a gap on the next guy. He's just very dynamic defensively. Over there in Slovakia, he had a little bit of a slow start. But honestly, it looks like he's been coming on strong as of late. Looking a lot more like the Clark that I saw in the OHL last year. And I believe I heard him say in an interview a little while ago that he needed some time to get used to those teammates and for the teammates to get used to him, because he doesn't play a very conventional defensive style. You know, you might not say he plays any defense at all sometimes, but He doesn't play that conventional, even some of his roving style. He is very aggressive offensively. He has a mind for what he wants to do and an idea of where the players are going to be. And if they aren't in that situation, then sometimes he can rush players or force plays and stuff like that. So now that his teammates know him, understand what he's going to do a little bit better, and there's some better chemistry on the team, I think that that's really benefiting his play in Slovakia. And it's been nice to see him come on a little bit stronger as of late.
I'm interesting. There's a bit of a mixed opinion on his skating. I know you personally said he's like great on his edges, but some people kind of criticize his stride, saying it's awkward and he bends his knee in a bit. I'm wondering if you could explain why you like his skating so much to me.
Well, I just see a lot of good habits from his skating, in terms of, you know, like I said, his stride, and his overall speed. When you have players like Clark who are still growing, I don't know, I saw some recent pictures where he's now towering over some of his teammates. He's still in that formative stage of his career. There's going to be another player that we talk about a little bit later who I still see great, or not maybe not great, but solid skating form. And it's stuff that you can fix. His stride isn't, you know, so awful that it's something that's really going to deter him. And if he gets a really good skating coach to really help him break down that stride, once he reaches that maturity and he's, you know, gets a little bit of those Bambi legs out from him, I think that that's really going to kind of dissipate. You won't see that nearly as much. One thing that you notice with these kids growing up, this was big for Byfield as well, is his skating stride was awkward because he shot up so fast, and these players don't really understand their limbs yet. Once they start to get, you know, acquainted with their body and how it moves and where things are, they really start to understand where things are going to be once they take a step. And I think that he's still in that growing stage. So the stride, while it might not be perfect, I think it will get there.
Now, we don't know when the 2021 NHL draft is going to be, but hypothetically, we say all things go as planned. It's at the end of the season. What's it going to take from now until then for Brant Clark to make himself the number one prospect in this draft?
Oh, that's a big question. There's a lot of moving pieces in this top end of this draft. There is so much going on. There are a lot of players who have been playing in consistent spots. I think it's going to be a real struggle for Clark to get back up into a number one spot, and at least on my board, when he comes back from Slovakia to play in the OHL, whenever they decide to get this season started, I think there's going to be another adjustment period. So it's going to be really difficult to really get a good look at his overall skill set when he's been kind of jumping around, has had to, you know, get used to different teammates and a completely different country. When you have someone like Matthew Beniers, you know, he did play in the World Juniors, but he's been playing in Michigan this entire season. Owen Power, same thing, has been playing the whole time. It's going to be very hard for Clark to kind of beat out that consistency that the other players have had. So to put him back in my number one spot, I think he's really going to, like you said before, need to clean up that stride and perfect it down the stretch here. And he's really going to need to blow up the score sheet offensively when he comes back to the OHL. Like that's his main skill, and that's what people are drafting him for. You really need to impress people if that's going to be your thing, and be hitting your marks, be finding lanes to the net, finding passing opportunities, and really creating the play off your stick to be able to get back up to that number one spot.
Now, there's talk of there being two drafts next year and then 2022, like a week apart. I think Clark would be one of the obvious candidates that would benefit from that. Would you agree?
Yeah, like I just said, consistency is key in a lot of these things. So having another full season to be able to showcase yourself in the OHL, which is obviously, for better or worse, one of the primary scouting regions for NHL teams. So yeah, honestly, I don't think that there's a single player that another season could hurt. There's obviously some players that you know are having solid seasons right now anyways and have been playing. But with the world in a pandemic, being able to go back to a little bit of normalcy next season, hopefully with vaccine rollouts and all that good stuff. That'll bring consistency to every player's life. And so we might see even better play from what many have been calling a down draft in terms of the skill level. So yeah, I think if everyone has another year to play in their respective junior teams, then I think that we could actually see some opinions change about this draft potentially. So that could be an option for sure.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I think people underestimate how routine driven a lot of these kids are. You know, for 8 years, they're so used to going to school, eating, playing hockey practice, game on the weekend. And I mean, the coronavirus obviously threw us all for a loop, but I think we underestimate how big of an effect it can have, especially on their play on the ice. Now, Ethan Del Mastro is the player you alluded to earlier. Should the OHL bubble go through, you said he's the player you're most looking forward to seeing. Why is that?
Yeah, so I picked Del Mastro simply because I think that he's been overshadowed kind of by all of the pandemic issues. There's some players that you hear about people watching in terms of watching old tape on them and putting them in their draft rankings just based on previous year's resume. Like you have Mason McTavish, who's now playing. But he wasn't for a while, and even we had him in our rankings. He's up in the first round. Same with Pennelly out of Kitchener, has not played, but he's still considered a top tier prospect in this draft. And so then you start to work your way down the draft, and a player that we talked about before recording was Roloffs, and that's another player that people again are aware of, I think that having so much time off and not being able to see any of these maybe second, third, fourth round players from the leagues that are taking time off is really going to hurt their draft stock, obviously. So Del Mastro, 7 points in, I think, 57 games played last year. Maybe not jumping off the paper to some people who might be watching video right now and going back and watching last year's games. Because honestly, like if you're going to watch 2019, 2020 OHL games, you probably want to see kids show some offensive flash, and you're going to go back and watch some of their points and all of that stuff. Del Mastro isn't going to be that player. While I think that he could definitely increase his offensive potential, what really piqued my interest about him was just his defensive posture, his smarts. He always seemed to be in the right area. And he's 6'4" and maybe not the greatest skater. Having said that, I think that his overall skating ability could definitely improve given an extra year. So if we're putting the draft in 2022 now and giving him a full season, I think Del Mastro could move his way up into that third, second round tier of players, just based on what I've seen from him from me watching games last year. While his stride might be slow and a little bit clunky when he's out skating through open ice with the puck, I have seen some decent edges from him in terms of skating backwards into his own zone, keeping good gap control, keeping on players in his own zone, and just playing excellent defensive hockey. And like I said, being a 6'4" player and growing into that body, he's definitely got some room to improve with the stride, but I think he can do it as he starts to, become used to his limbs.
Del Mastro is a player who's been at all the international skating tournaments. He played for Team Canada at the U-17s. He only had 7 points last year, but what's led to him be flying under the radar thus far in everyone's draft rankings?
Again, I think it's the defensive nature of the player. It's hard to scout defensive players, outside of being, big, being able to box guys out and keeping a good gap. It's really easy to scout offensive players like Clark. It's really easy to see the benefits of that player. He's skating at the wing, he's flying, he's making incredible passes. When you have a player like Del Mastro who keeps a great gap, like I said, is so positionally sound in his own zone, and then also makes great, you know, shorter passes. That might not jump off the paper to a lot of people, but I think it's really interesting to see because he makes those great small plays. He's not going to blow you away with skill by any means, but he's going to get the puck where it needs to be. And I just think that that's one of those players that, again, isn't going to jump off the paper at you. You're not going to be able to see him on the score sheet every night. But when you sit down and you watch him, you're going to be like, oh, wow, they could have got a goal there, but he stick lifted the player. He boxed him out of the zone. The slot. He closed the gap, shut down the rush, got the puck, made a quick 10-foot pass, and the transition was started back up the ice. Those are the plays that make a great hockey player. And those are the habits that you need to have from a more stay-at-home defenseman.
I think with a lot of guys at the top of the draft, and this year especially, that those traits that you're talking about in Del Mastro are some of the stuff missing in guys like Clark and even Power, that they haven't got their defensive zone skills down pat. I'm wondering, so how much value is there in a player that's already got those boxes checked and just needs to work on the big stuff like, you know, his offensive ability and his skating?
Well, and that's why you have Clark and Power at the top of the draft, because it is harder to teach creativity and problem solving skills like Power and Clark have. When you're able to take the puck from a high pressure area and move it to a lower pressure area in a more eye popping and creative manner, that set of hand eye coordination, the way that those players skate, it's very hard to teach those skills. It's also hard to teach the defensive side of the game, in my opinion. But the players that already have the hand-eye coordination, the skating, and the brains, to put it in a flat term, when they have those things for the offensive side of the game, it does make it a little bit easier to teach them the defensive side of the game. They kind of already have all the skills down. They understand the offensive side, and that's why those players rise to the top of each draft, because you have the offensive skills that are, like I said, really, really tough to teach. When you have a player like Clark, who's able to kind of move through fluidly a bunch of players on the other team, you're not going to be able to teach a Del Mastro that ability. He doesn't come as advertised. I think that there's more to him. He's not going to be the type of player that's scoring 50, 60 points a year in the NHL. Whereas Clark is more the type of player that's going to get there. And in the NHL, goals and points matter more than some of the defensive habits of players. Both are definitely necessary. But I think that being able to score at the next level is infinitely harder. And so that's why you want those players at the top of the draft.
Well, thank you for your insight, Dylan. I really hope we can talk after what hopefully an exciting OHL bubble.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Kyle.
Thanks for listening along. Be sure to keep it locked to FC Hockey so you don't miss the latest news, notes, and interviews featuring the NHL entry draft.